I need to be honest. I spent a lot of time thinking about the text for this Sunday. Had I been involved in the compilation of the Revised Common Lectionary, the order of texts that we follow for our Sunday worship, I probably would have omitted this portion of the Sunday Gospel. Yes, I will admit it. When I first read the Gospel for this Sunday, I was extremely uncomfortable with Jesus' words about divorce. And my initial response was to look for something else on which to focus. However, as I thought about it, I came to the conclusion that if I were made uncomfortable by Jesus' words on divorce, I am sure others here would also have been uncomfortable too. Ignoring or passing over Jesus' words here would be irresponsible and cowardly on my part, and could allow some to walk away feeling marginalized, judged, condemned, or maybe even self-righteous about his or her own position on divorce. I would also add that selecting and cherry-picking and cutting out portions of the biblical text that we don't feel comfortable with is technically a heresy within the church. That was decided all the way back under Marcion, who was a son of a bishop. And I love saying that because I think I'm calling him a son of a... And he actually was a son of a... Marcion said anything that was Hebrew in the Bible, anything that was Jewish, needed to be cast out. And so he wanted to create a biblical canon that was just the New Testament and only the Gospel of Luke, not any of the other Gospels, because that was the least Jewish of the Gospels. And so Marcion was eventually condemned as a heretic for cherry-picking his Bible, and then the church, in response to it, finally came up with its own canon of the Bible, which, interestingly enough, wasn't nailed down until the 16th century. There were debates about what made up the Bible all the way up until the 1500s. It was the Council of Trent that really came up with an authoritative list of the Bible. Jesus' words on marriage and divorce seem fairly clear. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. There is danger in taking a text out of context. So let's look more closely at why Jesus makes this statement. The Pharisees have approached him and placed before him a question in the hopes of trapping him. Their question seems very simple. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? However, this question takes place within a larger cultural dialogue. Jesus asks the next important question. What did Moses command you? In a typical Jewish legal dispute, Jesus refers to the law as written in the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. Here, the law seems fairly clear. Suppose a man enters into a marriage with a woman, but she does not please him because he finds something objectionable about her, and so he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. She then leaves his house and goes off to become another man's wife. Then suppose the second man dislikes her, writes her a bill of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Or the second man who marries her dies. Her first husband, who sent her away, is not permitted to take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled. For that would be abhorrent to the Lord, and you shall not bring guilt on the land that the Lord your God has given you as a possession. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. What's going on here? Man marries a woman, he finds something objectionable about her. And he says, I divorce you. Here, get out. And he sends her away. A second man marries her. He finds something objectionable with her. This must be some woman. He gives her a certificate of divorce again and kicks her out of the house. Or the biblical text, let's say the second man dies. Can she go back to her first husband? No. That's all the law is saying there. She can't go back to her first husband. What does it assume? And Melinda sits here and goes, oh, we've been talking about assumptions in our higher order thinking classes. What's the unspoken component here? Oh, divorce is acceptable. And so that is what the biblical text came up with. The divorce is acceptable. Even though this law is about her going back to her first husband. She's not allowed to do that. The law permitted the man to issue a certificate of divorce and send his wife away. There is a context, however, for this permission that was somewhat unclear and frequently debated in Jewish legal circles. What constituted, quote, something objectionable about her? Two main schools of thought have arisen over the interpretation of something objectionable. Two Jewish rabbis, Rabbi Hillel and Rabbi Shammai, represented these schools of thought. Rabbi Hillel was the more progressive of the two. He maintained that something objectionable could be something as simple as ruining a meal. Yeah.
He was the more progressive.
Yeah. Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Hillel's contemporary, took a more conservative view. He maintained only something of a serious moral nature, such as adultery on the part of the woman, was acceptable. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've seen some commentary, just some reading on this, because I knew I was walking on a minefield with this one. And here's the problem. What do you do with a woman caught in adultery? You don't divorce her. You stoned her. And so right off the bat, I can tell you, Shammai is way off. Because adultery wouldn't count. It had to be something other than adultery. So it had to be something seriously morally objectionable about her, though. The Pharisees may be attempting to trap Jesus into taking one of these two positions, thereby alienating followers who may fall into the opposite camp. Divide and conquer. Jesus, however, is frequently the case, Jesus does not fall into this trap. Jesus maintains that divorce is only allowed because of hardness of heart. And I want you to think about that. Divorce is only allowed because of hardness of heart. Jesus cites the Genesis creation narrative to maintain the indissolubility of marriage with no exception. A position perhaps closer to that of Rabbi Shammai, but with the typical moral intensifications that characterizes Jesus' application of the law. He always tends to take the law and take it a step further. You shall not kill. Hey, if you are angry with your brother in your heart, guess what? You've killed. You shall not look at a woman with lust in your heart, because if you look at her with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Of course, then you might as well go ahead. Okay. This is being recorded. Whoops. Some interpreters believe there is something more at stake here than simple obedience to an abstract law and the ideals of marriage. We must remember what would happen to a woman and potentially to her children from the marriage were a woman sent away by her husband. While she could return to her family of origin and potentially remarry, the experience would still be traumatic, as all divorces are. And she would have been uprooted socially, economically, and emotionally. She would have no grounds to contest the divorce. None. Nor could she have initiated the divorce had she desired to. She would be completely dependent on the will of her husband. That this power of the husband over his wife is at least part of the issue here is intimated in the version of this story found in Matthew 10, verses 2 through 6. Here is attributed to Jesus' disciples the objection, if such is the case of a man with his wife, meaning he can't divorce her, it is better not to marry. Hey, if I can't divorce her, if I'm unhappy with her, why should I bother getting married? In other words, what's the corollary? Oh, the only reason to get married is if you don't like the woman, you can get rid of her. If a man cannot divorce his wife, even with the excuse of finding something, quote, objectionable about her, is it worth the risk to get married at all? Obviously, if a man does not have this power over his wife, it is not worth getting married. It's all about power. There may be deeper issues here than simply whether a divorce should be legal or not. What may be at stake here is the just treatment of one's partner in a relationship. The ability to arbitrarily divorce one's partner and leave that partner with no recourse creates an uneven relationship. And one of the characteristics of the reign of God that we see throughout the ministry of Jesus is reciprocity and respect. That is the core of what we commonly call the golden rule. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12. When a couple decides to separate, this process should be one that leads to healing and liberation for both parties, not just for one. I am a realist, and I know divorces can be filled with pain and angry words, for each partner is now extremely vulnerable to the other. Many raw emotions are flowing. In a time like this, the couple most needs to be in counseling to help process these emotions so they can mutually release each other from a relationship that may not be working well for either of them. Counseling, in addition to the legal advice of lawyers, may help bring some degree of healing to people who are being torn apart. Those of us who are on the peripheries of this divorce as family, friends, co-workers, and members of the church family need to be supportive and sensitive during and after this time of transition, not judgmental or, as I've frequently seen, distant. Relationships can be difficult, and the ending of a relationship, particularly one as intimate as a marriage, can be extraordinarily painful. In our stages of our relationships, we need to treat each other with reciprocity and respect. The golden rule of do to others what you would have them do to you needs to be central throughout our dealings with each other. Whether those relationships are just beginning, going through some plateau phase of mutual comfort, or a painful descent into separation. Imagine a world where we truly lived out the golden rule. Maybe in that world, a divorce might not even be necessary.